This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 178. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Apple, Spotify, wherever. Subscribe, 5 stars. You know the drill. Also on YouTube, on the WEEI channel, you can find all of our episodes on the Play Tessie playlist there. So hit the thumbs up on all those episodes. Subscribe to WEEI. Leave a comment and find us on the socials at Play Tessie. On both Twitter and Instagram. It's Gordo here with Sammy and Pat. And if you're listening on the drop day, it is, I know that everyone reports early now, so like official pitchers and catchers report date is whatever, but happy official pitchers and catchers report day. I don't know, people kind of have like different definitions of like when is the start of baseball season. Some people say it's truck day. Some people say it's the second the Super Bowl ends. Some people say it's when pitchers and catchers report. For me, I don't get there until you see the team actually play. Like I'll be there early, so I'm not gonna say opening day. It starts before opening day, but to me, I gotta see the players playing in games. So for the it's like the first televised game is the start of baseball season to me. That's where I go with that.
I think I'm an opening day guy. I think baseball season for me starts on opening day, and everything before it is like the prelude, like it's getting you fired up for opening day, but opening day is the starting point, if that makes sense.
I might be on the other end of the spectrum than you guys. I get pretty pumped up seeing guys roll up to spring training. You're telling me you didn't see Garrett Crochet in a t-shirt and gym shorts throwing like 60% today and feel a little tingling in the loins? You're lying.
It's lying. It's like I don't dislike it. Like I like to see it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But like the interest in my head lasts like a total of 5 seconds and then it's done. It's like, no, I gotta sit there and I gotta watch something. Like I like the pictures. I want them posted. If I were down there, I'd be posting a ton of them too. We'll be down there at some point. We'll be posting a ton of them. But it's not the start of baseball season. It's good. It's better than what we get before it, which is nothing.
Like this I'm doing a poll from Play Tessie as we speak. This is a really I don't think I've ever thought about this. I don't think this has ever crossed my mind. When does baseball season start? So I'm going to...
It just kind of starts.
It just kind of does. It just happens and you're like in the middle of it.
And you know, I feel like it's probably one of those things where it's like, it doesn't... There's no specific... Unless you're an opening day guy, you don't pay attention to anything until opening day. Like if you're a nutbag like us, like it just starts. And I don't know. At a certain point in time, your brain just makes that switch where it goes from, yeah, we're in the off season. We're just kind of ticking down the clock, waiting for it to start. And then all of a sudden, you're just in, and every second of the day is just consumed by baseball. But I don't know. To me, that's kind of just all year round. I don't know. I'm just here sad because I sat on my dog's foot and he left me.
So. Isn't that the worst, when you accidentally hurt a pet and you feel terrible and there's no way to apologize to them and let them know it was an accident? That's what's one of the worst things that could ever happen. I'm sorry, Gordo.
Dude, it was brutal. I just was trying to sit in my spot to podcast. He was just to the right of it, and I was like moving something, and I go back to sit down, and I sat on his foot, and I tried to hold on to him. I was like, "Don't go, please don't go, please don't go." And he jumped off, and now he's over here scratching at the couch trying to find a new spot to sit in.
Did he yelp?
He did not yelp. It was not that bad, but it was just kind okay. of a, "What are you like doing? I'm out of here." Bye.
That's like heartbreaking. That's sad. Yesterday I lost a battle in a video game, and I went swear word, and I hit my desk, and I scared the cat, and I felt terrible for the rest of the night. Just awful. Terrible. And I lost, of course. So,
and yeah, that's the bigger issue.
My character died.
The character died. I can literally see Chester. He's looking at me. He's giving me a look. He's telling me something. He's like, "I know you're talking about me." I'm looking at him. I'm telling you. But all right. Breslow, Cora, they spoke. They said some things. I don't know. I'm curious. I don't know. The biggest thing for me, I guess the takeaways are kind of the same as they've been. Just to get it going. Breslow is still adamant that they're trying everything they can to add a right-handed bat, and that feels like the primary concern right now. And then the bullpen, the reliever, like, it feels like they're definitely trying to do something there, and they probably will. I know Jeff Passan today said that the Padres have had trade discussions surrounding Robert Suarez. I do wonder whether a trade for a reliever is more likely. I know the free agent list is always in front of us, but to me, it feels like something would have happened by now if that was the play. So I wonder if someone like Robert Suarez is the move for them.
Suarez would be nice. Makes kind of a lot of money for who he is. I think $10 million a year for a guy who's probably going to be your setup man. I don't know if I'd want him closing just because of the K's, but obviously a good addition to the bullpen. I'm not going to nitpick that much if they add him. I'd be happy. Free agent wise, we still have Finnegan out there. The more I think about him, the more I like that fit. 38 saves last year, and I know they're kind of low leverage saves, if you will, with the Washington Nationals. He's a guy I think could fit. I don't know, man. I am starting to think about reliever trades more so. And as we spoke about last episode, I'm on a different end of the spectrum than Pat. Pat really likes the bullpen. I think it's got potential, but I have some questions. So I do think, aside from the right-handed bat, that they really, really should just add one more guy. Just one more guy. Doesn't need to be the greatest guy ever. Just one more guy. Capable.
I think I'm like kind of in the middle, because I think they're better. But that said, they're still relying on a lot of things to happen that are no guarantees. You need Liam Hendricks to be not necessarily the Liam Hendricks of old, but you need him to be productive. You need him to be a reliable late-inning arm. You need Garrett Whitlock to be able to eat multiple innings out of the bullpen, especially, and we'll talk about the whole six-man rotation thing later, but if you're going with a six-man rotation, Garrett Whitlock is the key to the bullpen, to keeping it fresh, down a man. So those are two things you need to happen. Obviously, you've got another new guy in Aroldis Chapman who is going to be your bread and butter from the left side. But yeah, I think they need another guy. I don't necessarily know if I think he needs to be a ninth inning man. If they got Robert Suarez, though, Sammy, I think he'd close just because he's been doing it for the last few years and he's done it at such a high level. I agree. There's definitely K concerns there, but he has very successfully been doing that. But I don't think they necessarily need to target a closer. That's why I was so in on the Tommy Canley thing. Like, they were talking today. They asked Breslow about, you know, who could be a ninth inning guy, and he basically listed the whole bullpen. It was like Hendricks and Chapman have both done it, and Justin Slayton looks like he could do that, and maybe Garrett Whitlock, and then Justin Wilson too. He decides to throw that name out there.
Gordo, not to contradict myself, I just said I think the bullpen, you know, isn't as good at it as it was last year, but I think that's true. What Cora said, all those guys could close. They all could close. I guess the way I should frame it is, I have more concerns with this bullpen in 2025 compared to 2024. It has higher upside. I'll give you that. If everyone pans out in the bullpen and Slayton repeats his 2024, Hendricks has a bounce back season, Chapman does his thing, Justin Wilson, they seem to like a lot. I had a friend text me today, why do they love Justin Wilson so much? And I was like, I don't know, man. The breaking balls and the off-speed stuff look good. The fastball, don't throw that thing. It gets hammered. So, the way I should put it is this bullpen has more upside than 2024. It's just more concerns as well.
And more depth. I'll give them more depth. But, Pat, I'm curious. Brezel listed, what, five names? I think Cora listed three. And I think he left Slayton out, who he's talked about in the past as a potential closer. So that's four right there. If you're the Red Sox, Pat, and you're making the decision about the closer role, would you rather they have a competition? Because they said no one is in the ninth inning role right now. It's a competition. Would you have it be a competition and at the end of spring training, you declare someone the closer? Or would you want them to enter the season and play it kind of matchup by matchup? You know, if some lefties are due up in the ninth, you go to Chapman. If the righties are up, you know, Hendricks gets the first crack. Like, it's just not necessarily consistent, a matchup based, maybe someone earns it in the season. How would you go about it?
I mean, if you can break camp with a pretty solid idea of who your best option is to close games down, you're stupid not to. But I also don't think you should be freaking out if they break camp and don't have a bona fide closer, because things have a weird way of working themselves out. I mean, look at 2013. Koji was on no one's radar to be the closer, just went scorched earth, caught fire, and was like the best closer in baseball that season. So someone will step up. I'm not worried about that. This isn't like pre-Kimbrel or the gap between Kimbrel and Kenley where you didn't have experience there. You just were hoping a guy would pull away. You have guys with legit back-end experience. You have Hendricks. You have Chapman. I don't get the Wilson thing, but you get Wilson. Whitlock, his first year, was great in the back end. Like, there are guys with experience and, like, you feel okay on paper with one of them being the closer. So ideally you have one. If you break camp and you're doing it kind of a matchup thing, seeing who has the hot hand, I guess that's okay too. Because like I said, you have guys with experience.
I think that's the key, is the fact that you have guys with experience. And not to go back to Tommy Canley, who's not on the Red Sox, but again, like, that's why I don't think you need someone necessarily who is going to slot in the ninth inning. Like, I would love Ryan Helsley if they wanted to go that route. I'd love Robert Suarez. But, you know, if they got David Robertson, who I don't think has closed in a while. Maybe he closed for the Marlins, but he wasn't good for them a couple years back. I don't know. But he hasn't been, like, a consistent closer for a long time. And that would work. And literally anyone who can come into this bullpen, throw from the right side, and post a sub 3 ERA, you're good with Gordo.
Gordo. The last time Robertson was a full-time closer was the 2016 season for the White Sox. He has had some seasons where he's gotten like 15, 16 saves since then, but full-time, it's been a while. But still, like, I agree with what you said, Gordo. One guy would go such a long way with this group. And I agree with it. It doesn't need to be a back-end guy. It could be, or a closer, excuse me. It would be nice to have a back-end guy. It just doesn't need to be a guy who's closing games. Suarez, Robertson, Finnegan, Helsley is like the number one guy. That would be crazy. That's your automatic closer. So, I don't know. At the very least, there's options. We are getting short on time. We're officially short on time, February 11th as we record. So
that counts. Yeah.
I don't know how much spring training affects relievers compared to starters. It's kind of like a weird middle ground for me, but yeah, I'd like for them to bring in someone else. It just seems like a very obvious need. And not to say, again, I don't want people to think I'm saying the bullpen's bad or super flawed or anything. I would just like a little bit more security.
And then the other thing that came from today, and it's kind of a bunch of different things all leading probably to the same destination, but yet Alex Cora on the bench, he said they're still being very aggressive and he wouldn't be surprised if they added something else. He said that Masa Yoshida is going to need to play the outfield for the roster to be functional, which as the roster stands today, I don't think is true. But if they got one Nolan Arenado, it, in my opinion, would be true. Then there was the part where, and I wish we had, I don't know, we don't have the audio, so go back and look at Alex Cora's quote on this one, but when he was asked about if they'd move, if they would move Devers off of third, if Devers is the third baseman, the media is smart to be asking this question every single time they get a hold of one of Breslow or Cora, because what they have said is, until we have a conversation with Devers, he's the third baseman. And they asked again today, and Cora's answer was strange. It was basically like, no, we haven't moved him off third and he'll know first, but like they've talked about it or something. It feels like they have broached the subject with him, probably because he's asked. Like, let's be real. Devers has been in Florida, in Fort Myers, since January. So, yeah, if Devers is there and Alex Cora is there and coaching staff members are there, Breslow's there, if the people making these calls are there, he's going to ask that question and they're going to be honest with him, which is, and the honest answer, I would guess, is something along the lines of, listen, as you can see, the options are getting limited. Like, our plan A is Alex Bregman, and if this is Alex Cora speaking, I don't know if they're going to offer him what they should. So if Bregman goes off the board, it's probably going to be Arenado. And guess what? If it's him, then there's going to be something for us to talk about. And that could be the extent of the conversation. That could be it. And that would make all the sense in the world to me. I think it ties in with the Yoshida comment. It ties in with them being aggressive. It would be Arenado to third. Devers is your primary DH. Yoshida spends a lot of time in left field. Spend some time at DH. Devers back to third to give Arenado some downtime. Maybe Devers at first, some to give Casas some downtime. He learns the position. I don't know. I just think that is probably the next shoe to drop here. And if you read the tea leaves, you hear all the big reporters talking about, yeah, these things are going to happen soon. These things are going to happen this week. The Bregman shoe will probably drop first, but Arenado maybe will drop first if a team, aka probably the Red Sox, gets the indication that it's not happening with Bregman. It feels almost as if we're going to record this podcast, and then just like with the Juan Soto podcast, at the very end, we're going to get that breaking news, and we're going to be on here for 2 hours.
Yeah, that was so anticlimactic. We're all just like, Mets. Yeah. I do think, logically speaking, and I know we don't all agree on Devers' defense, but when you grade out statistically as one of the worst defensive third basemen in the league for, what, 7 of the last 8 seasons, say what you want. That's what the stats are saying. There has to have been conversations about moving him to either first base or DH. So I don't think it's a new subject for them. A lot of people frame it as if it's the first time Cora's spoken to Devers about possibly moving off of third base. I feel like they've probably had this conversation in like 2023 or something. It wasn't new back then either. So I don't really subscribe to the people who say like Devers has to be fully on board with it. He has to be okay with it. At some point when you've already been paid and you know you're being paid to hit, you got to just face reality. Like if they get a guy like Nolan Arenado, especially Nolan Arenado, one of the best defensive third baseman in the history of the sport, you got to move, Rafi. We love you, but you got to move off a third. It's Nolan Arenado's spot if he gets there. So I don't see that being an issue.
So, Pat, I want to get your take on this, but Sammy, just to respond to your points about Devers, my thought is when they negotiated the contract extension, this was obviously going to be a topic of discussion when you're coming to that agreement. And Jen McCaffrey had something about this. I couldn't quite tell if it was like a legitimate report or more so just kind of like an assumption that like they would talk about it. But she said that they promised him that he would be a third baseman on the team for years. And it's been a year of the contract. So yeah, like to me, to keep that agreement, he does have to be on board with it. But that said, you look at what's available. It's Alex Bregman, and then the bats are pretty much gone from the free agent market unless you like Justin Turner. If you go to the trade market, there's only one bat that is like, yeah, this guy is going to get traded, and it's Nolan Arenado. So if you lose out on Bregman, that's just the reality. Like, hey, Rafi, what would you rather? Play third base full-time and you don't improve the roster? Or you move to DH, we'll try to fit you in the field here and there, keep you active, keep you on your feet, but this is how we're going to get better. This is just the situation we're in. So I think the conversations have been, you know, breached. Like, I think they've talked about it. Like, even this offseason, I'm sure he's asked, and they've probably told him, listen, you'll be the first to know. We're not going to say it's not happening. We're not going to lie to you, but right now it's just not something you need to worry about. I bet that's what he was told up until he reported to camp and probably got a different answer, which is why I think Cora gave a different answer this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a conversation that has to be had, right? Because there are two guys, realistically, Gorter, like you said, that have been linked to the Sox since, I mean, we're going back to like winter meetings. It's been Arenado, it's been Bregman. Coincidentally, both those guys play third. Maybe it's not as much of a conversation if it's Bregman, because Bregman, you know, likely, we don't know for sure, likely slides into second base. But Gorter, like you said, you get Arenado, you're talking about a generational defender over there at third base. You're going to have to move Rafi. If I had to guess so far, they just kind of laid it on the table. They said, look, we're still negotiating with Bregman. He'll probably play second. If we don't get him, we're going to have to pivot to Arenado. And if that happens, we'll have the discussion. Like, I don't think they've told him he's moving off third, but I think he is just as in the loop right now as Alex Cora is. Like, he is a part of this, because if you're going to move him off of third base, you can't surprise them, and you can't just say, oh, we lied to you. You're just laying it in out as it is. Right now, you're at third base. If we get Bregman, you're still at third base. If we end up getting Arenado, you're probably moving off, but it's something we'll talk about. I think that's probably the surface level of what's been discussed. I don't think they've told him he's moving off yet. I think it'd be premature, honestly.
Well, the truth is, it's like, yeah, they have not. They're not going to tell him he's moving off third until they have a third baseman on hand that's going to take that spot. But the truth of the matter is, if Rafi truly was going to throw a fit and make a huge stink if they got a third baseman, like, you would need to know that. You couldn't just bring in Arenado and not know what, at least generally, Devers' reaction is going to be. Because if he's unhappy, and like, you've seen, not just with the Red Sox or in baseball, in all these sports, if you have a disgruntled superstar, it takes a toll on a team. So if Rafi is truly not on board, then Arenado's not even like a subject to be talked about. I think the fact that it's still something that's obviously continued to be talked about in that organization, they've continued to have those talks for Arenado. Rafi knows they're having those talks for Arenado. If it was going to be a problem, We would have heard about it by now. Like, we've heard that he doesn't want to move off third, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a big problem, especially at this stage.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, but you can't let a guy hold your franchise hostage. Like, if he's not playing good third base defense, but he's going to be upset if he has to move off the position, like, boo-hoo, man. He already got paid, like I said. If he hadn't been paid and he was thinking, this is going to financially affect my ability to earn money in Major League Baseball if I'm just a DH, different story. But that's not the case. So, I don't know, even if Rafi isn't fully on board, I would still make the move to improve the team. He'll get over it. We can't be like, guys, Rafi's upset. He wants to play third. He's eighth percentile OAA, but we got to let him do it. We don't want him to be upset. Like, I do think it's important to look out for how he's feeling, but only to a certain point. Like, it can't prevent the team from making impactful moves, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. The only thing I'm saying is, if You have to weigh, like, are we worse off with Devers playing bad third base defense, or are we worse off if he throws a fit and pulls the rug out from our season? I don't think he's going to do that, but it's up to them to know the answer to that. Like, a disgruntled superstar, I don't think he's like that either, but it's up to them to know, because if it were going to be like that, they couldn't make the move. But again, like, Rafi wants to win first and foremost. He's always been that way. Like, maybe people take his lack of outward leadership and, you know, front-facing speaking with the media to mean that he cares less, but it's just not the case. Like, you see it on his face when he plays the game. He cares as much, if not more, than anyone else on the team. And if this is going to be the thing that is the one move that can improve this roster going into this season, if Nolan Arenado is the one fit, then I think Devers is going to get it.
I think the other thing, too, that I don't think has been brought up this whole kind of saga is Rafi has been one of the more vocal guys between the past two deadlines and last offseason to make moves and add. He's been like one of the two or three guys that have been advocating, like, please upgrade this roster. Please help us win. And if it's a third baseman, I don't think he's going to change his stance on that. Because it makes the roster better. Nolan Arenado, he might not be a lefty masher, but he's a right-handed bat. like I said, generational defender at third base. Like, you improve your defense. You're even last year, like, you're winning 3-4 more games. And if Raffy truly meant those words, upgrade this team, help us win, spend money, make moves, it won't be an issue. It won't be. And it shouldn't be.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And when you think, and I know there's been those little rumblings on Twitter about this potential deal on the table for Arenado. We know what that deal is. If that deal is true, and we're not, I personally am not certain enough that this is true that where I'm comfortable saying it on the show. But if that deal that's on the table is true, then I mean it's a no-brainer. And to be honest with you, if that's on the table, they should just do it and maybe not even necessarily wait for Bregman. That said, if you do make a move for Arenado, what's the long-term roster look like? I was just thinking about this today because this guy's under contract for 3 more years. If you get Nolan Arenado, he's your third baseman. What happens with, let's just start with Marcelo Meyer. What is his long-term fit on this roster where Trevor Story, he has the opt-out at the end of the year, but if he doesn't take it, he's also a 3 years of
he won't
a 3
take
years
it.
Of control guy.
There's no I way think, he'll take it.
Ooh, Sam,
he'd have to have
so
like
quick.
He'd
he doesn't
have
to have that kind
unbelievable.
Of year.
Really? You don't think so?
Well, Sammy, you have to think about it. His shortstop defense, basically, if he's a league average hitter, he's going to be a four WAR player. If he's a four WAR player, he's opting
that's
out.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I agree with you then. That's what I mean. Like, he'd have to
league
have like a very good seat. Like, he hits average ish, but then is elite defensive and stays healthy all year. I think that's a really good season. I wasn't talking like 30 home runs, anything crazy like that, but. Yeah, I don't know. The odds, and then he would be what? He'd be 33 years old. He'd be leaving $25 million on the table for 2026, 2027. I don't know, man.
Can he be 2 years 50? I don't think he's going to either because I don't think he's going to put up a full season of league average offense and maintain. That's a lot that needs to go right. But I do think it's on the table. I don't think people, like, when people talk about Trevor Story, they act like it's a sure thing. And just to give. That he's not going to opt out. But just to give you my thoughts on this, I think Trevor Story, he has maybe what, like a 10%, 15% chance to be good enough to opt out. And to me, if he's not good enough to opt out, why should Trevor Story stand in the way of a potential all-star in Marcelo Meyer taking over shortstop? That's my thought. Because I think if you get Arenado, then Campbell is your second baseman. And what your long-term outfield is probably maybe Yoshida is good enough to get traded. Your long-term outfield would be Roman, Duran, Willier. It's a lot of lefties.
So I think what would happen would be Story, let's assume that he stays with the Red Sox. They do acquire Arenado. I think 2026, I think you see Story move over to second base. Meyer is your shortstop. Campbell goes to left field. Duran is in center. Right field is probably Roman Anthony or Willier Abreu, whatever's going on with that situation. Devers is the DH, and they figure it out with Yoshida, whatever they have to do. It's much easier to get rid of him 2 years compared to three. So I think they figure it out. And this is like, and I'm not talking about you, Gordo, or you, Pat, but when people say like, this player blocks this prospect, like we just saw, we saw Meyer talking about working out in the outfield. Campbell plays second base. Left field, he's 6'3". I'm sure he'd be fine at first base, too. Like, he's played shortstop. Roman Anthony has played all three outfield spots. I have no concerns about anyone being blocked. And again, not talking about you guys. It's just so many comments I get. You can't get this player because he blocks this prospect. It's so overstated. So I think if they did sign Arenado, I don't think it would be that hard to make everything fit. The one thing that I would have concern about, I don't know if they would make another big free agent splash like Vlad, because that would require a Casas trade, which they are clearly open to it, but like, I don't know, they're all about getting good value. And if they're not getting good value, then are they going to do it? I don't know. But long-winded way of me saying, I don't think Arenado is going to mess up the plans with Meyer, Anthony, and Campbell.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Sammy. I think once Marcelo's ready for the full time, it's Story to second. It's Story to second. That's the most logical thing that happens. And before people start freaking out like, oh my God, but Campbell second. Do I have to remind people that Jackson Merrill played shortstop up until 2 years ago? He was just an all-star center fielder who hit 290 with almost 100 RBI. Like, if you can figure out the middle infield, you're athletic enough to play the middle infield, you can be an above average outfielder. It's not unheard of. It's not uncommon.
Well, who's your outfield, Pat? If Campbell's in left, then who's your outfield and who's the odd man out? Because when you guys then Willier's the odd man out, that means your other outfielders are Duran and Anthony, which means I guess in my scenario too.
We're also talking about when Marcelo's ready. Roman's going to be ready before Marcelo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So by the time he comes up, Roman's already going to be in the outfield. So it'd be Campbell, Duran, Roman. Yes, it's very lefty, but Campbell's right-handed. But like, it's not like, oh God, like Marcelo's up and then you got to figure out Willier. And Willier's already kind of situated by this point because Roman's already up, ideally, by the time Marcelo's up. So that's kind of how I see it shaking out.
I got a question for you guys. This might be an easy question, but I hope it's not. Let's say that Story is healthy. This is after Meyer comes up. Story's healthy. He's still giving you like 90th percentile defense at short. Meyer in AAA, before he gets called up, is playing okay defense at short. Do you still put Meyer at short and Story at second?
I put Meyer at second.
I would agree with that he's already planning on, they already said he's gonna be playing a little bit of everywhere, second, short, third. I think a little bit of, they said outfield. I doubt he sees any
They kind of poo-pooed the outfield thing today. I think Breslow kind of said we're gonna keep him in the, I think it was Breslow, but yeah, I know Meyer said he's ready to do it if they wanted him.
And he's supposed to be like a, like not an elite defender, but above average, so I don't think it'd be an issue. I was gonna say put Meyer at short because that's his long-term spot, but I wouldn't hate if they kept, it might not be, so that's a tough question. Okay, good. I thought this was gonna be an easy question. It's not. If they put Meyer at second, I don't hate that. It's hard to find elite second baseman. If he's hitting at an elite level and he's an above average defender, and then Story leaves and like he's doing and Marcelo's doing well at second, just keep him there. Don't even have him earn shortstop. If it's working, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Not for nothing either. Like all of this long term discussion, it's gonna be entirely based off of the performances that you see from guys this year. Like if Story, if Story shows out, he's going to opt out. But like if Nolan Arenado is awful, if he hits 190, 538 OPS, like plays league average at third, it's just like he's clearly done. It's not that crazy to DFA a guy with 2 years. And if he's solid and you want Marcelo to be your third baseman, then you can trade him, because when the Cardinals trade this guy, they're going to end up eating a good chunk of salary. Like he had the Jeff Passan report today basically saying the Red Sox are only interested in the guy if the Cardinals are going to eat a lot of money. And it kind of feels like where it's going, because the Cardinals are going to get this guy out and they have absolutely no leverage. Like the Red Sox are the only team that is both in on him and he's willing to approve a trade to. So the Sox are going to get a good deal there. And this has nothing to do with that other trade. Like it's natural supply and demand. It's just, they're going to get a good deal. So if you have Nolan Arenado on the roster after this year for 2 years at like $13 million a year or something, like, yeah, that's very tradable. That is a future Hall of Famer that teams, even if he has a bad year, could believe in a bounce back. Like just because you get Nolan Arenado today does not mean you're stuck with him. And it's the same thing as Yoshida. It's the same thing with Yoshida as well. If he has a terrible year, he has 2 years left, you can DFA. If he has a good year, he doesn't fit on your roster long term, well, guess what? He hit the ball that year and you can trade him. Like it's the 3 years that really puts things in limbo, because no one wants to trade for a player that's not good that has 3 years left. 2 years, you can reasonably DFA. And if they're good, then they're desirable assets to be traded for.
You could salary dump him too. Just give him away, pay the money, or put a prospect in there. If you're really good and if you're like the Red Sox and you have all this young talent on rookie deals and you're one of the best teams in the league, you can afford to salary dump to make your window a little bit more open. So, I agree. I don't think Arenado, pigeonholes them or anything. By the way, a little bit of an update. First day of spring training is winning by a lot in our poll. 52%. Really? Yeah, 52%. We're only at 95 votes so far, but 52% first day of spring training. First spring training game is in last, and then opening day is in the middle. So, just a little update for you guys while we talk about Nolan Arenado.
Thoughts on six-man rotation?
I've come around on it. I hate the idea of Cutter in the bullpen, and I think he would be the odd man out. I think that is just awful asset management. He logged 183 innings. His best trait is being able to log innings, so if you put him in the bullpen, you're not getting that best trait. And like we always say, injuries are going to happen, so if you do have a six-man rotation, I highly doubt that it's the full season. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't think I've ever been remotely open-minded to a six-man rotation. But the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, then maybe just the first half. And then after the All-Star break, reevaluate, go to a traditional five-man as you look with an eye, hopefully, towards the playoffs. So I don't hate it.
Pat, what do you think?
Oh, I fucking hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
Cook.
Not that I don't think they don't have six starting pitchers. They absolutely have six starting pitchers. I just keep circling back to what Giolito said with Rob about, like, it's so hard to get into a rhythm when you have that extra day, not including even like off days. Like, you might legitimately pitch once in every 7 days, which is tough. And then you see, that means, like, I get the health thing. And it's a fair argument. The less starts guys make, the less prone they are to injury, especially when you have some question marks in Bayo and Tanner and, you know, Crochet not on an innings limit. But, like, if you're, that means you're seeing less Crochet if he's insane. That means you're seeing less Houck if he's an all-star again. Like, there's pros and cons, and I see way more cons than pros, I guess.
I don't think it's going to be a black and white thing. And I think Cora was the one who I don't want to say hinted, he kind of elaborated on it today. Talked about the beginning of the season where they've got a bunch of games stacked up together with maybe one off day in there. And it's like, all right, we're starting the season. We're getting guys back in the swing of things. Do we really want to keep them on 4 days rest this early, like multiple times through the rotation? I think the six-man rotation thing is something that you're lucky to have the ability to do on and off when it's needed. Because you've got a guy in Cutter Crawford who has shown that he can go back and forth from the rotation to the bullpen and back and forth and back and forth and have success in both roles. And it worked. It worked when they had to do it. And last year he was a full-time starter, and that worked too. He's a very flexible guy. Like, he can do both roles and do them well. I think use it when it's needed. Use it when you need to skip starts. Like, Cutter is going to be such a key to this team, because we saw it last year. Guys just had to push through and push through and push through. I think Cutter's role should just be this hybrid role where, yeah, he's not named a starter or anything, but he's probably still going to end up making, if he's healthy, 18 to 20 starts. But the truth of the matter is, it's probably not going to end up being needed, because we've seen the song and dance before. A guy gets, you know, shut down for a week in spring training and it delays his season 2.5 weeks. And then by the time he's ready to come back, someone has elbow soreness or a forearm strain and they're on the IL. And by the time they're back, someone injures a lat, and it never quite lines up where all six are healthy at once. And then if they are, you know, maybe it's June, it's July, guys are ready for some rest. They've been pitching every fifth day for the better part of half a season, and we're just ready for a break. You can use it strategically if you have all six guys, but I just don't think that all six guys are going to be healthy for much of the season together. It'll be interesting when Sandoval comes back, though, because then you got seven guys. And at that point, yeah, you'll probably have six guys for a good amount of, what, August and September, if things are going well? Sammy, you're muted.
Sorry, guys. I think if Sandoval comes back late in the season, which is probably what's going to happen, I could see them using him out of the bullpen, because he's going to have no time to ramp up if they need him. If they don't need him and he has time to ramp up, then maybe they give him some starts. But I could see him just being like, them being like, yeah, you know what, man, you basically missed the whole season. Just give us some good innings out of the bullpen next year. Next year, you'll be our starter. And also, when we talk about injuries, and I don't want to jinx anything, we're obviously not rooting for injuries, but you got Giolito, who just had surgery, Buehler, who just had surgery, and then, you know, Houck just pitched his first full season, Crochet has had Tommy John surgery, and then Cutter. So, not exactly the most reliable group health-wise. Hopefully, they all miraculously make it through the season. But like you said, Gordo, we've seen the song and dance. We know that almost never happens. There was a team that did it a few years ago, and I remember ESPN did a segment on how it's like the first team to only use six starters in a million years. But
the 04 very, Sox very... were close. Wasn't the 04 Sox didn't? I don't think it was only five guys, but it was something ridiculous. The 04 team.
Yeah. There was a team a few years ago that only had like six or seven. And it's like absurdly unlikely that that happened. So I think we can all kind of, well, Gordo and I, Pat, you're a little more against it, but like six-man rotation is fine, but it probably won't last anyway, is where I'm at.
It's the label of it that's like it's the label of it and what that means if everyone's healthy the full season. Because when you hear six-man rotation, like when Rob asked Giolito about that, that's what he thinks. It's like, oh, six-man the whole season.
Dude,
it's like, ugh.
You know what would make the boomer-ish crowd lose their mind is if the Red Sox went into the season with a six-man rotation and a closer by committee bullpen. Oh, man. People would fucking hate that shit. And honestly, like, I don't mind the six-man, the closer by committee. I don't really like that, but it would be funny to see the outcry.
I don't think that Cora said today that they're going to pick a guy for the ninth, but it could, I mean, yes. Who knows? Like, I think Hendricks will probably get the first crack, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the job's going to be his for a long time if he struggles at all. So there could be some uncertainty, but
dude, I haven't been more like excited to watch someone pitch in spring training than I am to watch Liam Hendricks. I can't think of a time where a spring training performance has actually meant this much. Normally it's kind of like, oh, whatever. But Hendricks, we haven't seen since I was a young boy pitch. So
oof.
He's gonna be under a lot of pressure pitching in spring training, and he's a closer. How bizarre is that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of, like, this is one of the more, and maybe we say this every year, I don't know, but this could be one of the more interesting spring trainings, just because you've got guys who are going to be competing for spots in the lineup. Talk about the kids, like, we're going to see a ton of Anthony, Meyer, Campbell, all spring training, and with Anthony and Campbell, they're going to be competing for starting spots in this lineup. You're going to see, as of right now, the second base competition, like, it's an important spring for Grissom, it's an important spring again for Campbell there, and then you got the closer by committee. Like, yeah, and not to mention, you know, I know you said you're super excited for Hendricks. I'm super excited to see Garrett Crochet, just because I mean come on.
We've been talking about Garrett Crochet for months. We've been the ultimate Crochet podcast, and finally what was Pat saying? He was throwing 60%, getting our loins to froth.
Whoa, froth is weird. I said tingle.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Now we're frothing, boys.
One other guy that I'm like not as excited, obviously Crochet is a whole different animal. Like, I'm just excited to see that guy throw. But in the Hendricks category, I'm excited to see what Walker Buehler looks like with a full normal offseason. That's a guy I'm excited to see throw.
And Giolito, both of those guys.
Angio.
In very similar positions. People don't, for whatever reason, put Giolito on the same kind of pedestal that Buehler gets put on. Both guys have been all-star caliber guys in the past. Top of the league starting pitchers in the past. Buehler's not coming off injury, but he's going to pitch his first full season since his elbow surgery. And Giolito obviously pitching his first games since his elbow surgery. You're going to be obviously huge to get those guys out the gate healthy, ready to go. Don't want to see setbacks for them in spring training. But man, isn't it nice to like talk about this stuff again? Like,
I remember last year I specifically saying I wish they could go into the season with a full rotation. Is that too much to ask? And now we're talking about six-man rotation, so you will not hear a complaint about the rotation from me. This is what we wanted. You remember at the trade deadline, we were all freaking out, like, why do they have no rotation depth ever? They never have rotation depth. And now we're looking at AAA, Richard Fitz, Quinn Priester, Zach Penrod, Criswell could be an option. Like,
all guys to watch this spring.
Dobbins, funny Twitter guy, Dobbins, good follow Hunter Dobbins.
No, yeah.
That's funny. Yep. A lot of options. Feels good.
Yeah, it's like, it's good to have too many. Like, yes, is it, you know, a problem, quote unquote, to figure out what you have to do with Cutter if everyone's healthy? Yes, but it's a good problem to have. It's the problem I want to have with the offense. I want to be talking about which outfielder is gonna sit when Anthony comes up, which infielders are gonna not have playing time because they just signed Alex Bregman or traded for Nolan Arenado. Like, these are the problems we want to have. Like, we don't want they have four starters and they're relying on James Paxton to get through the rest of the season as your fifth starter. Like, by God, we've had too many problems with lack of pitching depth, both in the rotation and the bullpen. And it feels like, especially if they get that last reliever, like this year might be the year where their depth can carry them through the season, at least on the pitching side. We got to get out of here soon. So does anyone have enough saids? I've got one. I can go first because mine's baseball related, if you guys don't mind. I can go first.
I'll go after Gordo because mine's also a little bit baseball related.
All right.
I'll go left.
Kenley Jansen to the Angels. Kenley Jansen gone. He gets a year and $10 million, which is basically what the Red Sox paid Aroldis Chapman. It was interesting. Last year, it just the way the season ended and the way he left and basically drove cross country from Boston straight to Dodger Stadium to enjoy, you know, some playoff Dodger baseball with his boys that he planned on signing with the following offseason. And it was just funny to watch the Dodgers sign every late inning reliever on the market, every elite late inning reliever besides Kenley. And now, because of the way things ended, now Kenley is going to be, he's still going to be closing games. So good for him. He's going to move up the saves rank. We'll be rooting for him to pass what, like Fergie Jenkins or something. But it's going to be with the Angels, and you've got a Red Sox team that I guess I'll say he disrespected at the end of the year. And, you know, now he goes to the Angels, going to play for Artie Moreno. He's going to, you know, finish probably in last place, and, you know, he'll get some saves. They'll win some tight games because they're not a very good team, but it just goes to show you, man, like, just be a good guy. Just be a good person. Be a good teammate. Don't burn bridges, because you never know when you're going to want those opportunities. I think had he known the Dodgers weren't interested in a reunion, maybe things in Boston last year could have ended differently. Maybe he could have been back, but, you know, he burned that bridge.
When I saw that news today, Kenley signing with the Angels, you know what I realized? We are about 1 year removed from asking Kenley who he would take on his deserted island. And he said, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. We still don't know.
That's putting it nicely.
He'll ever get back to us?
That's putting it nicely. He literally stood there and stared. Like, we weren't even on camera. Like, we approached him and we were like, hey, man, we're asking guys which teammate they would take on their deserted island and who they wouldn't. And he just kind of stood there staring blankly. And like, then, of course, it gets even funnier when you get the report that he doesn't even know his teammates' names. It's just like, yeah. Oh, that's what was going on. Like,
I was going to say, do you think that he didn't answer us because he was like, who are these guys?
Yeah, dude, I'm not gonna say no.
He didn't know. We didn't yeah. Like, he wasn't, because when we asked him that, he stared off into the distance for a good chunk of time. And in my head, I'm like, oh, he's thinking about it. He's gonna give us an answer. And then he goes, all right, I'll let you guys know. I'm gonna think about it. And I'm, you know, oblivious. Like, okay, Kenley, maybe tomorrow when we come back, he'll have an answer. It'll be awesome content. Maybe he didn't even know the guy's name. So yeah. Long he wasn't able to answer.
It would take the Angels to wildly overachieve. But Kenley Jansen is 32 saves away from passing Lee Smith to be third all time. Can you imagine him doing that in an Angels uniform? That picture, people are like, he fucking played for the Angels?
Yeah.
It would be great. It would be great. Just like doing that in such like distant, unrelative, like just no man's land. Like no one, if he did it with the Dodgers, they'd throw a parade. He wasn't phenomenal here. He was good here. It would be a big thing.
Yeah.
In the Angels, that's going to be like a 30-second thing on Twitter, and he's just going to into the abyss.
Yep.
You think him and Anthony Rendon will hit it off?
Dude. No.
Yeah, he's not. He's not going to be a big Rendon.
Dude, he's just praying for Trinan and Yates or Scott to go down so the deadline rolls around and he's back with the Dodgers.
Trinan, Yates, Scott, Phillips, one of their four closers, for Kenley. He's like, yo, if all four of those fuckers get hurt, I'm going back home. By the way, I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Angels Stadium. Nice stadium. Nowhere near LA. Not even close. It's like playing in Providence and saying that you're playing in Boston. It's not even close. So, and it's a highway. It's like a big highway. Angel Stadium, more highway, Disney. That's all that's there. It's not Los Angeles. I feel like people on the East Coast sometimes get confused because they're all are called Los Angeles, but he's playing on a highway.
Pat, you got enough said?
I do. Mine's a little lame because I'm probably preacher of the choir. I think it was all over ESPN, CNN, Fox News. It was all over Twitter. It probably be in the newspaper tomorrow. Richard Bleier retired today.
Yeah, I did see that. He posted a lot of Red Sox / Fenway Park pictures.
That was gonna, yeah. So he pitched in like 25 games for the Red Sox. He got DFA'd. And he posted 19 pictures. I think 10 or 11 of the 19 are him in a Red Sox uniform in the jet blue dugout or him in a different team's uniform at Fenway. Whole lot of Red Sox.
Big Sox guy.
Do we know, is he from here or something? Like I meant to look that up because I noticed that too. And yeah, I'm going to see, where's Richard Bleier from? Where was this
guy
born?
Think he's from
Miami Beach.
He's from Florida.
Yeah.
Florida. So man. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just he's a Bostonian at heart.
Yeah, but shout out Richard Bleier. Somehow, no disrespect, Richard. Great career. Career 3.27 ERA.
Wow. Yeah. There we go.
Much better. Okay. Yeah, he was steady.
He pitched in 335 games and had a career 3.27. That's very good. Respectable numbers. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more than respectable. That's really good.
It's a Bleier pod. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Richard Bleier. We'll get him on the pod.
Shalom. Shalom. Nice Jewish boy, Richard Bleier. All right. My enough said. Oh, man. I missed the feeling of the Patriots breaking the brains of the entire country. And I know they didn't play in the Super Bowl. But the Tom Brady GOAT conversation took the most gigantic swing in favor of Tom Brady, as if there was ever a question. If you ever thought already that Mahomes had passed Tom Brady, respectfully, you're not worth debating with. It wasn't even close. Now it's not even close. More so, I don't think Mahomes is ever going to sniff Brady's heights. That felt so good. Nothing against Mahomes specifically. It's more the people that want to put him over Brady. So glad to see that put to rest for a long time. Mahomes is going to have to do a lot to catch up to Brady because Brady, every single Super Bowl he played in, all 10 of them, win or lose, he always left the field in the fourth quarter with a lead, regardless of what happened in the end, always put the team in a good spot to win. Patrick Mahomes, buddy, just pooped his pants on the biggest stage in front of Kendrick, in front of Taylor Swift, in front of everyone. So, yeah, let's put that comparison to rest. Beautiful. Love it. Tom Brady's the GOAT. You can agree or you can be wrong. Those are your two choices. Tom Brady forever.
I had that tweet on Sunday night basically saying that, which is like, can we please like shut the fuck up about Mahomes over Brady? Like, I never want to hear that again. And shout out to the guy who, because I said that, is like, sending Photoshop pictures of me and sending videos to me and keeps calling me a butthead. Shout out to that guy.
That's the play Tessie listener of the week. That guy's great. That guy's
Shout out Biff.
Yeah, Biff.
Shout out Biff.
Shout out Biff. He DM'd me because he's like, hey, my account got suspended. Like I was just messing around. I was like, I didn't report you. He's like, no, like, sorry, I wasn't accusing you, man. Like, I'm coming to Boston. I'm going to meet you and your crew. It's like, oh, shit.
No. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to meet you.
Okay. I thought he was joking, too. I was like, I think he's joking, but...
Oh.
I thought he was joking, but then in the video, he didn't look like he was joking. He looked like he wanted to fight.
Oh, see, the video made me think he was joking more so, just because it was like, he kept going, like, calling you a butthead. He's like,
dude.
Yeah, dude.
Dude. Fuck you, Gordo.
In no world is butthead a threat. Like, this was a joke from the jump. Like, let's just say that now.
I wish Conor McGregor used that. You're a fucking butthead.
It's a good insult. It's a good insult. You fucking butthead.
Knock your fucking butthead out. You stupid. Okay. But yeah. So anyway, Tom Brady debate.
He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT.
Maybe not 100% over, but good luck coming close.
It's over.
Yeah. I mean, what? What's Mahomes at? Three rings?
And he has to pass Brady to because Brady beat him in both playoff games they faced off. So Mahomes can't just tie him with 7. He has to get 8.
Okay, and he's 29, and Brady played till he was 45, and he was still very good at age 45. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Sorry, Mahomes. 99.999999% chance you will never pass Brady. Seems like a nice guy. Again, nothing against Mahomes. It's more so the people who want to put him over Brady. Sorry, he's the king.
And that'll do it for episode 178 of Play Tessie. We appreciate all you buttheads tuning into this one. Next time, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back for a Who Says No Friday for a bonus pod in a couple of days. So remember, hit that subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, wherever you're getting your podcasts to get those notifications when we drop our episodes. Huge for us, huge for you. 5 stars, subscribe. Find us on YouTube on the WEEI channel. We got the Play Tessie playlist there. So you can hit the thumbs up on all our videos, subscribe to WEEI. And you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.